In ancient Israel, Passover was a family event. It involved the entire nation, children, servants in the household, everyone who was part of the nation of Israel in one way or another. And yet, in our modern Passover observance, we do not have our children who are not baptized participate in the Passover. And individuals who are new to the Church of God, who have not been baptized, also do not attend our Passover service to participate. As it says in the email bulletin this week, Passover is for baptized members only, and that is our policy. Well, why is that? Why is that the case? We're not trying to exclude people. We don't have bouncers that are going to deny access, kick anybody out. But we recognize in Scripture that the New Covenant Passover is a distinct event from the Old Testament observance. It's observed in a different way because God operates through covenant relationships. He does that from cover to cover of the Bible. You start out, you don't get very far in Genesis before you find a covenant. And all through to the end, you find God reiterating faithfulness to his covenants that he has made through history. Passover has to be treated with care. It had to be treated with care in Israel, though it was open to families. We'll see where the boundary was. And now in the new covenant, it is again part of one's covenant with God today. So we'll answer the question today, does a person need to be baptized to keep the New Testament Passover? We'll see what the old covenant restriction was on who could keep it. And by application of that same principle to the new covenant, we'll see that only baptized individuals should be observing and keeping the new covenant Passover. So start with me today in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. We'll take a look at the old covenant. Exodus 12 and verse 43. That's one of those funny things. We get going along, those of us who have been baptized for a long time. If somebody were to ask us the specific reason, well, why don't you have unbaptized people take the Passover? Could we give an answer? It's good to review. Exodus 12, and verse 43, as we get into the Word of God today. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Now, mind you, this was when they were getting ready to observe their first Passover as a nation. There was a lot of anticipation, and God came at them with a lot of rules for all the things they had to do. It was a very tense time when Egypt was brought to the brink with all these plagues, and this last plague of the firstborn was coming. So a lot going into this verse that we're kind of just skipping over the story. So God is telling them something very important. This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. While he was at it, he told them about the Passovers to come after that. Every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner, that it would be a foreigner, someone living in the land. And a hired servant, that is someone's not part of your household, they shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house. Skipping down to verse 47. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when the stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. So the delineating line we're seeing here is circumcision. Circumcision. We saw that in verse 44. Every man's servant who's bought for money, when he's been circumcised, he may eat of it. Now, in verse 48, a stranger who wants to keep it, good that they want to keep it, but guess what? The stranger who dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. His whole household had to be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. A lot of interesting things to say about this section of Scripture. One was that God had a pathway to citizenship as part of the nation of Israel, right there, built into the founding of the nation at that first Passover coming out of Egypt. Now, a fact that we notice here, God had given circumcision previously as a covenant with Abraham to show who his physical descendants were that were going to inherit a promise. Now, God is adding that onto the old covenant that he's making with Israel as the physical sign that was required for any person to keep the Passover. Whether a physical descendant of Abraham or not, they could be circumcised and come into the nation of Israel to keep the Passover. Now, here's a fact. It didn't matter if you showed up at the tabernacle and learned everything to know about God. and did everything that you could think of that God said to do except be circumcised, if you didn't do that circumcision, guess what? You and your family, according to the word of God, should not be keeping the Passover because you had not come into the covenant through that circumcision sign. So no matter what else anybody else did, you know, it didn't matter. If they didn't have that entry into the covenant, and that is really the key point. A covenant must be entered into. It can't be stumbled into by accident. You can't just pick up and take the rights of a covenant without entering the covenant. So in the old covenant, here it was, the men in the family, that was probably a big event, right? You got to get all the guys together. Everybody's got to agree to this. And you got to get them all circumcised. Now, as representatives of their household, the men would go through this. And in doing so, they brought their entire family into the covenant, right? Their wives were then part of the covenant. Their children were then part of the covenant, male and female. Of course, the little boys would be circumcised before it was really a choice for them. That was just the way it was. And in this way, it was to be a physical covenant that was built around a physical nation of people at that time. Now, what I said, the covenants must be formally entered into in order to be valid. I need to elaborate on that. You don't get to be in any covenant just by wanting to be in it. You don't get to be in any covenant just by acting like you're in it. For example, marriage is probably the most common covenant that still exists in our society. You do not get marital rights just by loving one another, at least you're not supposed to, or by living together. People violate those things, and it turns out very badly. But even under human law, there are certain rights afforded to those who go through the covenant of marriage, even when it's simply an agreement between human beings with God totally out of the picture, as many people do. We know that expecting marital rights when you're not actually married is a big setup for disappointment and failure. It's actually also very harmful to human relationships for people to move forward that way and can become sin. So if we believe that applies to human relationships, human covenants, like marriage, the same applies to our covenant with God. God does not spiritually shack up with anybody. It's just not how he operates. It's covenant or nothing. Covenant or nothing. So we come into the new covenant. The new covenant is entered individually. There is a calling that's extended to a person's family, but the covenant is entered individually. And the point of entry, there still has to be a point of entry. It's not just coming to services. It's not just learning the truth of God, as exciting as that is. It's not just learning about the Sabbath and the holy days and doing these things. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, we'll read verses 11 through 13. So here's one of the several places where the Apostle Paul explains, using that concept of circumcision, how we enter into the new covenant. Colossians 2 and verse 11, Paul writes, "In him that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." Okay, so this is a spiritual circumcision, one that's not made by someone with their hands taking and, you know, doing the cutting. "The circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." So he's really building this up. If you're reading this and don't know the conclusion, right? He's saying there is a circumcision, which they were intimately familiar with, right? This had been the sign of the covenant for so long. This had been the entry point. The way that you got to be part of the covenant people was by circumcision. The way you got to take over the Passover was by circumcision. And now in this new covenant, he's saying that we were circumcised in Christ. How? Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. "In which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having been forgiven all your trespasses." The entry point to the covenant, the circumcision of the heart, as explained in Scripture, is baptism. And notice, it says that you have gone through this, right? Verse 11 says, you were also circumcised. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Paul is speaking here, if you look at chapter 1, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. His target audience is the church, those who have entered the covenant, the saints, the holy ones is what that means, the faithful brethren, those who are really a part of that covenant. And his assumption is that you were circumcised with that circumcision without hands. You were baptized. The expectation was that that would happen. They had formally entered the covenant through baptism. So it's not enough if God has shown us the truth of his word, not enough that we're trying to obey it, which we must be. Those are preconditions a person has to meet by God's calling before they're able to enter the covenant, before they have the understanding to enter the covenant. It can't be entered by a person before God has truly called them. If we were to go around this room to those who are baptized in the Church of God, surely we can find people who had previously been baptized as a Catholic, as a Baptist, as some other denomination or non-denominational church. Maybe some people, I don't know all your stories, that have been baptized several times over in different traditions of Christianity. I have met many people like that. But people who came to realize that that baptism, or maybe even plural baptisms, were not valid. Because even though they were seeking the God of the same book, by the same name, he had not yet revealed himself to them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11, we find Paul speaking about the Passover, the gravity and the weight of it. We saw in the Old Covenant how the Passover was identified with being part of the nation. If you got that circumcision, you could take the Passover, and there was one law for the native born and for the foreigner if they had been circumcised. In other words, it gave you full access. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we see that that's still the case in the New Covenant. In other words, if we do not take the Passover, we have no part with Christ. But what we find out here also is that we cannot, should not take the Passover until we have our part with Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That death we share in through baptism, we read about. We proclaim his death, which we share in through his baptism, after the at the Passover, which is what the preceding verses are explaining. The cup of blessing we bless, the bread that we break. Verse 27 warns, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It goes on to say, let a man examine himself and so take the Passover. There are multiple ways to take the Passover in an unworthy manner. For those that are baptized, we focus on renewing our covenant with God, getting our house in order, examining ourselves. For those unbaptized, they need to take that first step first of entering into the covenant formally. The Passover was an intimate part of covenant worship in the Old Covenant. It's also an intimate part of our covenant worship today in the New Covenant. The days now are short between now and Passover. Tuesday evening is when we'll have our Passover service. And whether you are baptized or not, whether you will be taking the Passover or not, this is a time of reflection on our relationship with God and what that means to us and getting it right. So let's use that time wisely.